Ezekiel's one of my, I'd have to say he's one of my more favorite of the prophets in the Old Testament. He was there in a time when Israel had fallen away from God again, and they had been dispersed across the land. They were spiritually dry, and they had lost hope. And God gathered them in the Spirit and took them to a valley of dry bones. And he asked them to speak the word to him, to prophesy to him in particular, to tell him specific things that were to come, to breathe life into him. We could spend a lot of time on just these passages of Ezekiel. But before we do that, I'm going to try something a little different. So many of you grew up with Paul Harvey, or have outlived Paul Harvey. But in April of 1965, Paul Harvey recorded kind of his prophecy for what was to come. April 3rd, 1965, this is the script from Paul Harvey's announcement. If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve, do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, O Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families that war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have a mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotion. Just let those run wild until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbols of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what do you bet? I could get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes and hard work and patriotism in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned and swinging is more fun, and what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus, I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey, good day. That was 1965. Now, over the years, Paul did some additions to this, but that's the original from 65. And we look back at that, at what he was seeing going forward, and we stand here today and we see most of this has come to be. When a radio commentary, probably one of the more popular of the time, gives us a warning that this is coming, an entire nation. How did we respond? Well, those of you that lived in the 60s and 70s know how we responded. We didn't. We let it happen. Into the 80s, 90s, and today. We're not too much unlike Israel. Oh, we come to God when we feel like we need Him. When it's in our best interest. But when it's not, when it conflicts with our wants, our desires, we forget Him or set Him aside. Just like Israel. I'm not a public commentary person. I'm not a famous newsroom host. I'm not a radio spokesperson. So rather than give you any sort of predictions that I might have on what the next 20 years have, I'm going to try and sum up 70 verses of what's to come. And I'll try and do this in about 10 minutes. You probably won't be able to keep up with me in your Bible, but if you'd like the verses, I can give them to you afterwards. But in a manner similar to Paul Harvey, if I were the devil. If I were the devil, I would search out men and women that have a form of godliness but deny its power, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. 2 Timothy 3:5-7. I wouldn't have them stay home on Sunday, but I would have them crowd churches. I would have them applaud teachers that promote love as God instead of the other way around. 2 Timothy 4:3-4. I would have them set back in their seats during calls for repentance, because repenting identifies sin. Identifying sin is condemnation, and condemnation isn't the political correct way to show love as God. John 3:18-21. If I were the devil, I would have my people lure others to neglect their first love, Christ. Revelation 2:4. Allowing dust to gather on the sacrament until it's forgotten. I would have my people applaud the unrepentant sinner for overcoming intolerance and overflow the collection plates of churches that prostituted themselves to supporting immorality. Revelation 2:14-23. If I were the devil, I would weigh down the hearts of those alive in the spirit with the weight of my lukewarm spiritual dead sitting in pews next to them. Revelations 3:15-17. I would have my people ostracize those that speak of absolute truths, calling it hate speech. Black or white offends, but gray is harmless. Revelations 2:10. If I were the devil, when the trumpets are blown, I would gather those that are frightened and hiding. Revelation 6, 15 and 16. I would make them see God as a weak child using hail, fire, blood, poison, darkness, and locusts, as well as wars as instruments of his tantrums. Revelation chapters 8 and 9. I would bolster men and women not to fall to their knees, but to stand firm against God and demand emancipation. Revelations 9, 20 and 21. I would call them my children, for I am their father. Matthew 8, 44. If I were the devil, when God sends his witnesses, I would run them down, raising their bodies high, while my children party day and night at their feet. Revelations 11, 7 through 10. As my time grew short, I would lead my children in open war against Christ's bride, eradicating Christians across the earth. Revelations 12, 12 and 17. If I were the devil, I would raise an immortal-like ally to blaspheme God's power over life and death. Revelations 13, 3. I would empower a second ally to lead my children in worship of my own Christ and enforce obedience by controlling all trade. Revelations 13, 13 through 17. If I were the devil, as the bowls were poured with loathsome sores, waters of blood, burning heat, biting darkness, earthquakes, and boulders dropping from the sky, I would openly perform signs and wonders, rallying my children behind me for my final coup to dethrone God. Revelations 18, 9 through 10. In other words, if I were the devil, I would just keep doing what I am doing to make sure I won't be eternally imprisoned alone. Revelations 19, 17 through 21. And that's the rest of the story. You see, we look back at what Paul Harvey had to say in 65 and compare it to today. And where else do we have left to go? We look at the U.S. dollar and how it is dangling on being omitted as a universal currency for trade across countries. China and South Korea have already started to trade in their own wands. You don't think that's a big thing. But it actually could collapse this nation. When the value of the dollar has no value outside the United States, and we import more than we export, what do you think will happen here? You see, Britain was in this situation hundreds of years ago, when the British sterling was what everyone in the world traded. And when that transitioned from being the world's trading source, what everyone used, the trash stopped getting picked up. The public services all stopped. Food stopped flowing in and out. People had to rely on growing their own food. The nation went into turmoil for quite a while. Oh, it eventually recovered. But the financial analysts say we're on the verge of having that happen to the dollar. Could be this year, could be next year. We're ripe for a system, for an Antichrist to come in. And as ally, to say, unless you join us in worship alongside of us, you can't buy or sell. Prophecy. In Ezekiel's case, was used to breathe life into dead bones, to that had lost hope. Ezekiel 37:1. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. You know, we can keep doing what we're doing. We know what's going to come. We can continue to be spiritually dry. That won't stop what's to come. But what it will do is allow more and more people to be deceived by Satan when he does his work, what he's going to do. You see, for us to be spiritually alive right now is not for our own benefits as a church, because we can't stop what's going to happen in Revelation. We can't stop it. But if we don't become alive in the Spirit, we can make sure more people won't be eternally imprisoned alone. You see, if we're dead in the Spirit when we witness, our witness is dead. We know what's coming. But that's another couple years down the road. That's another decade away. It ain't here yet. My sister's fine for right now. I've got another few years to talk with her. My neighbor, we've got all the time in the world. Is that really the case? Witnessing is hard. And if we're spiritually dead, it's nearly impossible. I mean, when you come to someone today and try to preach or teach them or talk to them about Christ, you're not always going to hit the easy heart. There was a man that I talked with this week. And we were talking about injustices and how things or people could be allowed to do what they're doing if there's a God. Now, you're going to find that this sort of discussion comes up quite a bit when you truly witness with the lost. Because there's really only so many main categories of reasoning for the lost to not want to know God. Our own pride gets in the way. Our heart's been so hardened. And in this particular situation, this man had a pretty rough childhood. When he was 8, he'd been beaten with a belt buckle by his stepfather for getting an F. Knocked his teeth out in the front. And he was asked to testify. And when he went into that courtroom to get ready, The prosecutor said to his mother, "He's not strong enough to get on the stage." Now this little 8-year-old boy heard that. He's not strong enough to get up there. So they plea bargained instead. And that stepfather that had beaten him with the belt was released. 7 months after this, he killed his 5-year-old sister. Now you got a man that's going through life knowing when he was 8, feeling like he was responsible for not having the strength to take the stand to put his stepfather in jail, and his sister, his 5-year-old sister, dying because of it. Witnessing is not easy. Saying, "I hate God." It's not that I don't believe there's a God. "I hate God," is what he says. Because I prayed. I prayed all that time. If there's a God, do something to stop this. Witnessing is not easy to the lost. He told me, he said, "I know the ramifications of my decision. I know where I will spend eternity because of this. And I'm willing to do it because of how much he hates God." Witnessing's hard. And if you don't have the Spirit inside of you to help you in those times, what are you going to do? What are you going to say? We talked some more. And after his sister was killed, her stepfather did spend some time in jail. It was a little less than a year, I think. And he came out a born-again Christian, his stepfather. Now by that time, this man had been sent to go live with his real father because his mother said, "I can't have this boy around. He is a demon." Because she had become a born-again Christian. So he was sent to go live with his father. So his views of what a Christian is and what a Christian are come from his mother and his stepfather. What a born-again Christian is. "My mother thought I was a demon and sent me away." Now his stepfather, after he got out of jail as a born-again Christian, asked for forgiveness from all of his children, including him. And he said, "I can't forgive that man. I can't forgive him for what he did." And the mother said, "You'll forgive him." Because if you don't, he can't go on. Witnessing is hard. And if we're dry, dead bones, and we're not Spirit-filled, How many people are we willing to give up? Just because it's too hard. It's too uncomfortable. They'll think I'm weird. I've got to get dinner on the stove. No. If I were the devil, I'd just keep doing what I'm doing to make sure I won't be eternally imprisoned alone. Heavenly Father, I ask that you give us a new breath. Breathe that Spirit into us, Lord. Change our hearts. Make it so that we aren't content being dead, dry bones laying on the ground anymore. Fill us, Lord. Fill us with your Son's love for every lost. Convict us, Lord. Don't make it easy for us to just walk away. The soul lies in the balance. Strengthen us, Lord, as we become a target. Give us a boldness, Lord, to speak in absolute truths when seemingly nobody wants to hear it. Heavenly Father, bring us to our knees before you. Help us to realize just how spiritually bankrupt we are. Make us into servants. These things I ask in your precious name, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.